So the boys aren't quite back. I'm back. Ireland's on vacation. Momo's here. Momo, how you doing?
I'm good. Well, you're the only one that matters, right?
Oh, no. John counts. He's the real deal. I have had the craziest couple of weeks.
Tell me.
I've got an ulcer.
Oh!
So, see, that's what John has done to me. Actually, that's what Jared Goff has done to me.
Oh, my goodness. And Sean McVay, apparently.
That is what Jared Goff has done to me.
Sean McVay finally snapped yesterday, Mace. He finally snapped.
He did. He was upset after the game. Well, we'll tell you. You guys know, but Robbie Gould won the game on a field goal at the end of regulation. Jared Goff, terrible, terrible day. He had a fumble. He had two interceptions, including a pick six, 19 of 31 for 198. Now, for the year, it doesn't look so bad. He's completed 67% of his passes, 3,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Same guy who last Monday shredded Tampa Bay, going for 376 yards. But in his last four games, he's thrown six interceptions and he's fumbled five times. 11 turnovers in four games. That is brutal. That is absolutely brutal. Oh, God, I tell you, yesterday, it totally messes up my day when the Rams don't win. I got so pissed off at the end of that game because I felt it was right there for us. They couldn't close it. Especially when we were basically out of the game at one point, and they still rallied back. Defensively, the team continues to look very good. One of the touchdowns was a pick six, so you can't put that on Brandon Staley's defense. But it was a rough afternoon for Jared Goff.
Yeah, and it's one of those afternoons, and I think because we had this buildup with the Niners. Like, that's the team that has the Rams number. The Rams have the Seahawks number.
Yep.
And the Niners have the Rams number.
Yep.
And Sean McVay just basically pointed to it right after their last win. Great win on, you know, against Tampa Bay. Where you try to, like, get involved in and feeling like this team can go to the Super Bowl. You try to believe.
Yep.
You try to feel like, yeah, I believe in the Rams. I believe in Jared Goff. And then he goes out and does that. And you're like, oh.
A rough few weeks. The Miami game was terrible. Mm. He was good in the Tampa game, but just way too many turnovers. And Jorge, if you follow me here, Momo mentioned Sean McVay snapped. I think snapped is a strong word, but let's listen to him. This is a snap. Here he is on having to take better care of the football.
Too many times we beat ourselves and we just have to play better. We're not taking good enough care of the football, and that's something that's got to change. Otherwise, I'm going to continue to sit up here and say this week in and week out, and it just can't continue to happen.
That's a snap.
Would we put voice altering software on that sound?
These Zoom interviews are ridiculous.
Got a hot mic and someone didn't know how to wire them up.
Oh my God.
Here he is on the quarterback specifically needing to take better care of the football.
What is the commonality on those turnovers? Is it something that's failing to execute time?
Taking care of the football. Our quarterback's got to take better care of the football.
Woo!
That's a direct target hit.
Woo!
I mean, he didn't have to say his name, but
Sean McVay is that guy who says when we have him on, hey, this went wrong. He says, I need to do a better job.
Yeah.
I need to do a better job managing our players and putting them in a position to win. Now he specifically play that one again. Quarterback needs to take better care of the football.
What is the commonality on those turnovers? Is it something that's failing to execute time?
Taking care of the football. Our quarterback's got to take better care of the football.
Boom.
I mean, it's almost like he was trying to disguise his voice because it.
Because it doesn't sound like him. It's not the kind of
Sean
thing he says.
Never does this. Like,
no.
Every time I've ever heard, I've never heard him call somebody out by name where he puts it on somebody else. There's always some level of him saying, I got to do a better job preparing our guys. I got to do a better job with the game plan. That's on us. We'll get better at that.
Correct.
I've never heard him say this.
Yeah.
Literally, when I heard that, I was like, whoa. Did he just say Jared Goff's name?
Our quarterback's got to take better care of football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Period.
Pretty much.
I'm with Sean. Here is Sean on Jared Goff and his turnovers.
Each play, like I've talked about, is its own individual situation, but might be keeping two hands on the ball, might be understanding that if somebody's swarming around you, you can't just throw it away when you don't see where you're going. Being able to trust your guys to be able to separate. But overall, you know, anytime that you turn it over as many times as we did and he did, it's just got to be better. And he's capable of it, but we've got to be able to get it done.
So here's the way my afternoon went. When I'm watching a Rams game, I get, first of all, once Jared Goff has one turnover, chances are he goes south. Like, he's not the guy that's able to forget about the interception that he threw. He's not the guy that is capable of forgetting and putting, in fact, at halftime, if you looked at him right before halftime, they showed him, he was all dejected, sitting on the bench, by himself, looking at his little Microsoft Surface, and McVay pulled him aside in the locker room and said, dude, you got to shake this off. It's a brand new half. You got to shake this off. And he came right back and threw the pick six. so that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a short memory, which is something that you need to develop if you're going to be a big-time quarterback.
Yeah.
Here's what Jared Goff said after the game on what he needs to do in the future.
Just be smarter with decision-making. He's absolutely right. I need to take care of the ball better, and we'll put us in a better position to win, and better decision-making. You know, the fumble, take care of the ball when I'm getting tackled. It's an easy one. And then just make better decisions.
So I'm what you call a living room coach. So as a play is unfolding and Jared Goff has got the football, and I know he's got this, you know, he has a lot of those fumbles and, you know, arm not going forward and losing all that stuff. I will literally say, behind you, behind you, he's coming.
You're that guy.
as if I have some influence over it.
Like he can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like he can hear me. Watch out, Jared.
Hey, he's coming behind you.
Because I've been a relentless, as you know, a relentless Jared Goff defender.
Yeah, you have.
And, you know, I still look at him and see that the package is there. He can be that guy.
Yeah.
He just hasn't been that guy every day. And I spoke to somebody who told me everything's week to week. It's all week to week. And that's what the NFL really is. It's like, what team is going to show up this week? All of a sudden, you know, you see Tennessee go on a run, or you see, some team get hot. The Niners all of a sudden win a game. It's just, it really is week to week in the NFL. And this was not our week.
Well, and I think the thing with Jared is that, you know, he has what it, like when I hear Sean McVay do that, it reminded me a little bit of when, you know, when Brett Brown at some point last year finally just said, Ben Simmons needs to shoot some threes. Like, I need him to shoot one three a game. And it was like the first time, you know, I mean, the elephant had been in the room for years. Okay. And then finally he said it, and it was like, oh, we're going to talk about the elephant now. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like something happened. Like, this is a big thing for him to just say this out there, to call him out by name. You know, Jared Goff knows. I mean, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Went to Cal, you know, my school, right?
Yep, that's where you went.
Our quarterback's got to take
Cal football. Golden Bear, I forgot.
Yeah, smart guy.
By the way, we'll take some calls through the show. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Here's what I look at. You know, since, if you throw out the Fisher year, which you really should.
Yeah, I think you should just throw it out. I agree.
Jared Goff at quarterback, the Rams are 40-19.
Ooh.
40-19. So are they winning in spite of him?
No, I think.
He has had some great, I mean, NFC Championship game 2 years ago against New Orleans. He had a great game. He was good in the playoffs, got him to the Super Bowl.
Well, the problem that we've always had with Jared Goff is that we don't know where Jared Goff begins and Sean McVay ends, right? We don't know, you know, how much of his success is the system quarterback, is the guy calling the plays, is the guy prepping him and doing the game plan, because Sean McVay's a genius at that. And he's great at developing quarterbacks and running the offense this way. But I think this was like this. You know what? It reminded me of, you know, Brett Brown calling up Ben Simmons, Phil Jackson basically every single day coaching the team through the media. You know, he's thus far, the Sean McVay I've known has been the guy who takes it on himself, doesn't call anybody out by name, doesn't really, you know, ever put it right on the players. And yesterday he finally just did. He just said, this is on Jared. You got to grow and do this. It's gotta be better.
All he did was he put his foot down. He said, that's it. Enough.
You got to get better at this, bud. And I relate to it because.
By the way, I hate the system quarterback conversation. I really do. I'll explain to you why. Next.
Ooh.
And it involves Tom Brady. I'm going to link these two together. I'm going to weave this story.
Look at
Tom Brady, Jared Goff, tale of two quarterbacks. Mesa in Ireland, Momo's in for John, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, so Santa Key, by the way, Dum Dums, when you hear the promo, it doesn't mean it's time to call. I mean Dum Dums in the most endearing way.
It sounded endearing.
Yeah. Santa Key's coming to town, stuffing your stocking with Laker goodies and collectibles. Keep listening for the sounder of Santa Key coming down your chimney. Once you hear it, be calling number 7. At 877-710-ESPN, you got a chance to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, mine, really, really important stocking. Ireland, Sedano, LZ, Scott Kaplan, Playoff, Sliwa. You can win Lakers stuff, collectibles, gift certificates, all that kind of stuff. 710-ESPN, your home of the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers. 877-710-ESPN. I should have asked, Momo, what did you do? I jumped right into it because I'm in a Rams kind of mood.
Fired up.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. You
what
know,
did you do?
Small. We went over to my mom's house and she cooked. It was just me and Nev and my parents and my brother. And that's it. We wore masks inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you and we brought
turkey
the kids
or a ham? Are you turkey
we
or
did,
ham house?
My mom made turkey and we ordered ham from Honey Baked Ham.
Yeah, ham is that honey baked stuff is good.
It's really
overpriced,
good.
But it's really good.
Yeah,
Lindsay, what'd you
really
do for Thanksgiving?
I did absolutely nothing.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Just you and Chewy?
Yeah, just me and Chewy.
I tried calling you. You didn't answer though. I tried calling
you. You did, but I didn't see it until like 4 hours later. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, she's probably eating dinner with her family. I don't want to bother her because I'm a loser sitting here with my dog watching true crime shows.
Jorge, what did you and Brenda do? Oh, okay. We were going to all get together, get tested, get together in the desert with my mom and not stepdad Leo. And in the end, I just couldn't do it. There were so many stories about don't travel, don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Don't. And so we ended up having a Zoom Thanksgiving, my brother, and my mom and not stepdad Leo. And we all ate Thanksgiving together. And you know what? It's almost the same experience. It's still pretty good on Zoom. Like, it worked out.
It was okay. I mean,
did
honestly,
you make a whole turkey just for you two?
Ordered a turkey, yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, it was
from
good.
Where?
It was good.
Where'd you get it from?
From a place called NutriFit. I get all my food from this place called NutriFit. It's really good. Okay. They deliver, too. It's good.
Cool.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
It's good. Good deal. So I was going to weave together this idea of system quarterback, Jared Goff, and Tom Brady. So I'm watching the Get Up this morning, as I often do, and my friends Dan Orlovsky and Rex Ryan and
those are your friends. Okay.
Ryan Clark. They're my TV friends.
TV friends. Got it.
They were talking about the fact that Tom Brady is not as successful as he was in New England.
True.
And one of the reasons is they're not running the right system for him.
Ooh.
Somebody suggested that if Josh McDaniel was the head coach at Tampa Bay or the offensive coordinator and was running the Tom Brady system, Tom would be more successful. So does that make Tom Brady a system quarterback? He was better with New England than he is with Tampa, where they're running what these guys say is the wrong offense for him.
It's interesting. I think it doesn't make him a system quarterback. I think he'd be great no matter, you know, he's also at the end of his career with like less weapons and a new team where he's learning a different system. So that matters. But I always think the system thing is interesting. Like, I remember somebody told me like, hey, what if you would have put Carmelo in Kobe's spot with the Lakers? Would Carmelo have won titles if he had Shaq and all the great people around him that Kobe had, the great players? You know, like how much of like true greatness? And
well, what's your answer to that?
I don't think so. I think Kobe was special.
Yeah, Kobe was completely unique.
Yeah, I mean, peak Melo was pretty damn good, but he was on players, the Nuggets.
But players are not interchangeable in that way.
How many superstars though? Like, if they just had Steph and Clay, if you put them on different teams, would they still be as good? I don't know. You know, I think so, but not that. I mean, I think LeBron would be good on any team.
Without question.
Right.
Without question.
But look how much better Anthony Davis looked this year playing with LeBron than he did previous years when he was in New Orleans without as much help.
Hey, let's go to Jim on the phones. Hey, Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, this is Jim.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. I was just asking about you. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I'm calling from Oxnard. Listen to the show. Listen to the broadcast on the game. I'm a 3-year family member, Ram family member, which I will not name the player. But I've been at this process for 3 years, and I'm so glad yesterday that finally the coach focused on a problem. The problem being calling out a certain player, and this perhaps the quarterback, for his sort of psychological behaviors. Because, you know, in addiction and recovery, you have to admit you're an alcoholic before you can come from the bottom.
Wow, we're going here.
You're comparing
this
to alcoholism?
This is an interesting metaphor. Okay.
No, it's synonymous to addictive behavior because we've seen the issues with the quarterback when he doesn't, you know, throwing in traffic, throwing in with people multiple coverage. The defense bails out. I'm a defensive parent, you know, so I'm all on the defensive side of things. And you know, here we are, and then he goes into this psychological addictive mindset, panicking in the pocket, can't move around, doesn't slide. Now you have to call and claim. You have to name it and claim it and move on. So hopefully some healing and some restorative justice and next steps can take place so that we can correct this stuff. Because
so, Jim, let me ask you something. I'll be delicate. You say you have a relative that's on the team. Is that view, what you just described, representative of the way other players feel about Jared Goff?
I won't go there. I think if you were to canvas anonymously players, you might get a variety of things, like put on your big boy pants. I'll use that terminology that someone used during the political campaign with someone. Yes. And during the transition of Trump to Biden,
right.
I think Jared needs to put on his big boy pants sometimes. I've watched him at Cal. I've watched him when Cal played, you know, a college that my relative attended, and he was outstanding, you know. And I've seen him for years, even prior to L.A. Rams. He is very capable, but I think he psychs himself out.
You know what he's got? You know what he's got? I really do believe he does not have a short memory. In other words, make one mistake, all of a sudden the mistakes just flow. But you know, it comes down to, I don't want to compare it to alcohol, but I mean, it's bad habits. He's got bad habits in the pocket. You're right. Yesterday, that fumble was because he didn't slide. He dove forward instead of sliding like a wise quarterback would have done. It was a big mistake. Hey, Jim, thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate the insight.
All Mace, right, you're so Jim. Funny. You're like, I'm going to be delicate with this. I'm going to be delicate with this question. So you have but that was so not delicate.
You didn't think that was delicate?
You were like, does every guy on the team feel this way? Because Exactly.
Well, wait a minute. I've got a guy who is related to somebody on the defense.
Right.
Talking about Jared Goff.
He gave some identifying details. He was like, you know, I watched him at Cal because my relative.
Yeah, don't even go down the road. Yeah, don't go down the road.
I was like, man, I'm about to put some two and two together here.
It's all there. The puzzle pieces are all there, but let's not put them together. Let's not put them together. No, but what I'm curious about is the Rams have, and yesterday didn't hurt them, the second best defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if I was a defensive player and I was watching the quarterback all ham-handed, throwing interceptions and fumbling the football, I'd be pissed off.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. Like, when you have someone on your team that has a specific thing that they always do wrong, right? Or whether it's like a habit. So for us in softball, it was always like getting the bunt down. That's like the big thing is get the sacrifice bunt down. And, you know, everybody gets nervous when it's their turn to get the bunt down. Okay.
Sure.
It's like, it really is. If you start the bat at the top of the strike zone and anything above where you start, you lay off because it's a ball and you're going to pop it up.
Right.
So all you got to do is just bend your knees and take the bat down with you. Don't drop the bat because that pops it up. Just bend your knees. It's not that hard. Okay. If you just focus and really focus in on what you're supposed to do, you should be able to do it like 99 times out of 100. It should be that level of skill. Okay. It's not that hard. The only thing that's hard about it is the pressure and the lack of focus and lack of concentration. And I used to think like this isn't like, you know, swinging and trying to move the runners or hitting it to the opposite field. It's literally a matter of focus and calming your nerves, compartmentalizing your nerves because you have this spotlight and we got to get the bunt down. It's the same thing with fumbles. It's like what you said. He dove instead of sliding. That is just a matter of not having self-awareness. And when you have somebody on your team who keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over, after a while, you do really get frustrated. Like, you're like, come on, dude.
Yeah,
like, just get the damn bunt down. Just like, every time. Like, I remember by the time I was a senior, I was like, I got it down every single time. Every time, because it's like, it's a focus. It's a matter of just, like,
well, and just it's a habit.
Bend your knees and do it right.
Yeah.
Do the thing right, and it will work. You know?
Let's go to Andrew on the line. Andrew, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. I'm all right. I'm trying to handle the loss, but
it's not easy.
That I'd like to mention about
good.
Jared Goff.
Yeah.
First is his decision making process. Like you, I do sit there and quarterback coach, and I think to myself, he's taken way too long. Snap the ball, throw it. He's waiting for separation, things like that, and then he goes through this decision-making process, which is way too long. Two is mechanics. He holds the ball too low. When he gets ready to cock, he's not up there. He's got to get the ball a little bit higher so that they don't knock the ball out of there. And if you watch the great quarterbacks, they're able to instantaneously make a decision and boom, they're throwing.
Right.
The third thing is in Sean McVay's offense, he is what I would call a system quarterback. He has to basically run the plays that Sean McVay is calling. He has very few audibles that he can change the play on. So he's looking for all different kinds of things as we're trying to be aggressive.
Right.
Now, when what I thought was the critical point in the game was when Henderson ran the wheel route and he was wide open. And he overthrew him.
And he overthrew him.
That
would
have changed the whole ball game. We would have been up by seven.
That was a touchdown with the right throw. You're absolutely right.
It was absolutely a touchdown. And that's quarterbacking 101. You gotta loft that ball up there to let him catch it underneath rather than throwing it on a dart.
Yeah, give him a chance.
And I was very upset that was the game right there. That's when I said that was the game. Not so much what happened at the end when they lost it on the defense, but also when you have 3 minutes to go. I did not like Sean McVay's play call.
I did not either. I didn't either.
I give Sean McVay a little bit more room here because not only what he has done for this team in taking them to the Super Bowl, and he's so young. He's 34 years old.
Right.
And a lot of this comes with experience. You know, it comes with understanding that, you know, you don't have to be as aggressive. You got 3 minutes to go. Take it down to 1 minute, kick a field goal, and you win the game.
And
that's not what happened there. And it puts enormous pressure on Jared Goff to make those throws because he ran three plays. He ran the one over the middle, so you got 5 yards. It's second and five. Make it a third down. Make it a third down, makeable third down. Not third and five. Make it third and two.
Right, so they get behind schedule. Exactly. Hey, listen, appreciate the insight. I can tell you're a passionate Rams fan, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much,
Andrew. That guy's been studying tape and stuff.
He has been. But, I mean, he's absolutely right about the Darrell Henderson throw. I mean, the throw was right there for a touchdown. They had to settle for a field goal. Too often this team is settling for field goals. All right, I want to let you know that in about 20 minutes, brand new Lakers guard Dennis Schroeder is going to join us. So we will get acquainted with him. And coming up next for you, did you see it? Did you see what happened Saturday night?
What?
Did you see the big show?
I saw a show.
Okay. You saw a show. We'll get to that too. Yeah. While we were watching the fight, Momo was watching something else. We'll talk about that coming up next. Don't miss Disney's new movie, Safety, inspired by the true story of Clemson football safety Ray McElrathbe.
That sounds good.
McElrathbe. I believe is the correct pronunciation. Based on an inspirational true story, Jay Reeves stars as Ray McElrathbe, a former Clemson University football safety whose love for football is challenged by his love for his family. It starts streaming exclusively on Disney Plus on December the 11th. Mason Ireland, Momo's in for John, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I don't even use very much Instagram. Momo, you use Instagram a lot because I see the...
Yeah, it's kind of just turned into like baby pictures, though.
Yeah, it is all baby pictures, yeah.
Because I could do other things, but I mean, Daniel's really cute.
Yeah, he is. He's very cute.
You know, so it's just like hard to put, just like throw up a picture of like, you know, the avocado tree that just, you know, had some... You know, new fruit and
although
like,
people
oh,
that
my
do
avocado
those
tree.
People that do those stories and just put the most random stuff in the world get a lot of followers.
Hey, true.
Dennis Schroeder from the Lakers is going to join us any minute, so stay where you are. So I'm interested because Momo and Lindsay both finished Breaking Bad over the holiday. Momo, what did you think?
That was awesome. That was one of the best endings I've seen for a long running series. I know everybody said that and I was expecting it to be good. And I even figured some of it out, you know, like as it was happening, I was like, oh, I think should we give anything away? No. Right.
Oh, it's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years. Right. So I definitely knew that he put the ricin in her stevia. Okay.
Yes.
Like I was like, he was sitting there. I was like, oh, I bet he put that. And then I knew he was going to go when he saw that interview with those people. I knew he was going to go and make them, you know, give them the money to
but you
kids.
Couldn't possibly have known the shooting, the way he rigged up that.
No, that was
back
amazing.
And forth shooting was just incredible.
Yeah, that was
because
awesome.
The entire time I'm like wondering, what's he doing? What's he doing? And all of a sudden starts firing away. Lindsay, what do you think?
I thought it was great. I mean, John said that he thinks, and I don't know, I think you probably agree, that it's like the most amazing TV show ever. I thought it was fantastic. And your friend Bryan Cranston is great in the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of it was kind of predictable.
What?
Not the very, very end, though. Like, as you went along, though, like Ramona, everything Ramona just said, I feel the exact same way. Like, I feel like you could kind of start to put the pieces together at the end there. I mean, he was a smart guy, but then it makes you also think like, maybe he wasn't as nice of a guy as you wanted to think
he was. The part that I thought made it ring true, Mace, is when he tried to go and like make amends with Skylar at the end, his wife,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he basically has this speech, and she says, if you try to tell me one more time that everything you did was for the family, I don't want to hear it, right?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
basically ruined their lives. He's ruined their family, everything. And he goes, no, I did it because I liked it. And yeah. that to me was like, there is your character arc. We all know that you liked it. We all know that this break, you know, the Breaking Bad made you feel alive.
Yes.
You basically had spent your whole life, you know,
as a bland school teacher.
Bland school teacher. But also he had this intense regret over the fact that this technology that he helped this company build turned into this like billion-dollar yeah. enterprise, and they basically stole his IP, and he never got any money for it. He never got any return for it.
Yep.
You know, and so he really feels like he should have made more, he should have done more, and it wasn't his fault. Now he has this lung cancer and he's this boring school teacher. And
yeah.
like, you know, I think this made him feel alive.
Yeah,
this was like,
I completely agree with it. Where
and then he
exactly,
owned it. The fact that he owned it is like, that was everything.
Where exactly do you think he broke bad? This is a big question. Where exactly did he break bad?
When did he finally break? It wasn't when he first started cooking the meth.
Nope.
It was when he watched
Jesse's girlfriend overdose.
Bingo. Oh. That's exactly yeah, that when he it. Broke bad. He stood well, there and watched her die.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That was the point of no return, yeah.
Yep.
I there mean, was,
there's no coming back.
There's no coming. Well, I do think when they had to kill those first two guys and yeah. then they had to dissolve that with the, you know,
the bathtub.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
but that
he
was
knew
like...
that guy was going to get him. He tested it. He saw that guy was he couldn't let him go.
I feel like they were just guys, though. I think the fact that, like, he watched
yeah.
someone that
guy,
he knew just
that he could have saved
so much about.
Yeah.
yeah.
See, yeah. to me, when I look back on it, the most powerful episode of the entire series was the one where Jesse goes and it's the parents with the little kid.
Yeah.
With, and they're, like, the meth heads.
Yes.
And they stole his money or something. And
yep.
he had to go get it back. And he's there. And this little four-year-old was there. That was really hard to watch. But it was also, like, the real tragic underbelly of, like, what meth addiction is like.
So,
and these are the true, like, I don't want to call them victims because it's of their own volition, right?
Sure.
But, like, these
addicts.
Are the people he's really hurting
yeah,
by making
yeah.
all this stuff.
So I am the one adult male human being
yeah.
that had not watched The Sopranos.
Ah.
And I finished it 2 weeks ago. And it is
awesome.
And then I did a podcast with Michael Imperioli.
Ah.
And Michael Imperioli was like, how did you not watch The Sopranos?
Seriously.
It's really true. I was even living in New York City at that point.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And I still didn't start it. I have no idea why. And then I realized it's because there was no such thing as a DVR.
Right.
You had to watch it in real time or you had to get one of those VHS tapes
yeah.
and all that business. So I think it was harder to keep up with the show than
That's
it
right.
is now.
Especially if you fell behind.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know,
so,
it's interesting watching a show like Breaking Bad or watching The Sopranos all together. You have a different experience when you watch five seasons like that all at once.
Oh, yeah. When you're on a
yeah.
on a run,
yeah.
it's the best. It's the best. So Dennis Schroeder is going to join us in a minute here. Again, the Rams lost yesterday, unfortunately, 23-20. Jared Goff, terrible day. We've been talking about that. I want to get into the Anthony Davis contract situation coming up.
I got something
which
for
is,
you on that.
Which
I
is fascinating.
Yeah, I got a little something for you on
You got
that.
A little something?
A little something.
We still have time, Linz?
Yeah, I mean, he should be calling any minute, but yeah.
Okay, what do you got?
Why do you think he hasn't signed his deal yet? Let's do Socratic math.
Okay, let me guess. It's because he wants to see if Giannis opts in or not. And if Giannis doesn't opt in, then he'll do a one-year contract so that next year they could sign Giannis and then they'll have bird rights on LeBron and AD. How about that?
Yeah, that's one part of it. I also think I think that he was just waiting for them to get all their business done so he could, you know, have a better read of things. But you're right about I think that's the Giannis thing matters a lot. And I also think, you know, the Lakers, if you look at what they've done, they have positioned themselves to have cap space next year.
Yep.
They have cap space. And Giannis isn't the only potential free agent.
Who else is on the board?
Well, I don't know. Kawhi? Paul George?
Yeah, Paul George.
Okay.
So I want no part of Paul George.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think you should be thinking when you look at the Lakers' long-term plan.
Okay, tell me what I should be thinking.
That Rob Pelinka guy, okay, yep. I'm not going to say he's light years ahead or anything. I'm just saying he's looking ahead.
Yep.
And if you were the Lakers and you were team building, you would look at Anthony Davis as the next star you need to build around.
Your cornerstone,
which means it's nice for him to have LeBron this year and next year, but he needs a younger star to play with going forward. And that's where, whether it's this summer or the summer after that, you have to put yourself in position either by trade or by free agency to acquire a younger star to team with Anthony Davis in the future so that the handoff from LeBron to AD is seamless.
Right. Well, do you think Giannis is going to sign the Supermax?
I thought so until the Bogdanovich affair.
Right.
But I also think
was Bogdanovich really the linchpin to get Giannis to sign?
And I think it sounds like Giannis.
That doesn't
had been
seem
recruiting.
Like a major piece to me. By the way, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Bogdanovich is really good. He's also like the kind of guy that Giannis wants to play with, right? He's tough. He can create offense himself. Which takes some pressure off of Giannis, right? That was one of the issues that they always had.
Yep.
Is that it's the same, you know, when you play with LeBron, he needs another playmaker so that he doesn't have to do all the heavy lifting, which I think Dennis Schroeder will be for them this year. But Giannis was recruiting Bogdanovich. Like,
yeah.
It was player to player.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Oh, yeah, big time. They're both over in Europe. Like, Bogdanovich was over in Serbia and Giannis was in Greece, so they're in the same time zone. They're calling each other all the time. This was player to player. And I think the teams really jumped the gun on this. They talked about the framework of a deal that they literally cannot talk about until free agency. And even though a lot of teams do that, you do that at your own peril, because the NBA was really cracking down on tampering this year. They sent notes to all the teams. They sent notes to all the agents. You know, we got to, you know, tame this whole thing with the media reporting everything being done 3 days in advance of when yep. they're even allowed to be talking. Like, I think last year was probably the tipping point. Like when Kemba Walker's, like, I think that got reported 3 days early.
Yeah.
He was signing with Boston. I was like, that's ridiculous. That's 3 days before free agency. You can't, it's just completely.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the reality of the business. It's just,
yeah,
it is what happens.
It is what happens, but the NBA was trying to crack down on it. Bogdanovich, especially being a restricted free agent.
By the way, here's my question. Why? Why do they need a certain period? Why don't you just sign free agents as you want to sign free agents?
I think the idea is you want to have, because there has to be some kind of order, right? If you don't have any order, then teams that, you know, Anthony Davis, like if he's waiting to see what Giannis does, like, you know, You need that to have like a end date. You need a starting date and end date. Otherwise, you don't have anything, right? It could just be done anytime.
But so, these stupid rules, a moratorium, and you're not allowed to announce a particular day.
I know.
Just say it starts. It should have started like November the 15th. Free agency is open. Sign who you want.
The problem was they were really rushing the start of the season. Everybody was like, you know, getting ready for the draft and free agency. Normally those things are spaced further apart. You have plenty of time. Like, this year's all just messed up because nobody even stopped working from last year. The league office is exhausted. Teams are exhausted. Like, it's a lot that right now. And I think they wanted some semblance of order. But what happens is, I think they probably would have gotten away with this if the money had been similar for Bogdanovich.
Right.
But I think the way that deal was constructed, it was like the lowest amount the Bucks could have ended up giving Bogdanovich, and it would really cost him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that deal was reported, it came out, you know, both teams, you know, obviously had discussions enough to where it was, you know, reported. When that happened, it's like it really wasn't fair to Bogdanovich because he still had 3 or 4 days to negotiate, to try to get more out of the Bucks, to try to get more out of Atlanta, to try to get more out of whoever else, the Lakers or you know, Charlotte, whoever else was offering him money or talking to him.
Right.
He ended up signing for a lot more in Atlanta than he would have gotten in that Milwaukee deal. And I don't think it was, I don't think he, once they were a little loud about it, and then I, you know, later on there was a call with the Board of Governors, and I think the Bucks were a little loud on that call, and it kind of flouted, you know, the spirit of everything. Like, I think, you know, if you're doing something that everybody knows their league is trying to crack down on, don't call attention to it so loudly. You know, keep it chill.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I mean, but what's the difference if we know it or not? I don't understand.
You.
The rules seem stupid to me. I mean, when you want to sign Kemba Walker, sign Kemba Walker. When you want to sign, Marc Gasol, sign Marc Gasol. I mean, I don't understand why it has to be a particular day, why there needs to be a moratorium, since we already know teams are talking to agents.
The thing was, what I've heard anecdotally from a lot of agents is that because people were cracking down on tampering, there was actually a lot of offers that got pulled. So teams would like make an offer to a guy, and if he didn't accept it right away, if the agent called, you know, they would call back, and then they would get ghosted because somebody else took it. And that happens because, you know, people are trying not to tamper. So they haven't, you know, most of the time the teams will have talked to all of their top targets well before they place that first call, or at least not talk to the target. They've talked to their agents at least.
Right.
They have a pretty good sense of who they can get and who they won't get. And so they don't make offers without knowing that they're likely to accept. They don't let that hang out there because they don't want to lose out on somebody else. Well,
right.
This year, because there was no tampering, you couldn't figure that. You couldn't figure that out in advance the way you normally would.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fascinating because now Giannis is essentially a jump ball. He's got till December the 22nd to sign the Supermax.
Yeah. They can do, though, what happened in Oklahoma City, where if Giannis wants to sign that Supermax, which I think he should, by the way, but I think the revenue is going to be way down this year, so you might as well lock in at a better number now.
It's like $230 million.
Yeah, that's a lot. And also, like, you lock in at a better number, and but you do it maybe with the same understanding that Westbrook did or Paul George did when they signed their long-term deals. Just say, look, if I ever want out, you know, we'll have a gentleman's agreement that I'll let you know. We won't leak it loudly and kill your leverage, but you know, if I ever don't like the direction this team has gone, then you agree that we'll work together to find a trade for me. And that's actually circumventing the salary cap. You're not supposed to be able to do that, but it's a gentleman's agreement, right? I mean, that's kind of what Oklahoma City did with Russ and Paul, et cetera, which is how they were able to trade those guys without anybody realizing they were even on the market.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's like the first big domino.
Correct.
That is the first big domino for next summer. That is a huge decision. And by the way, I also think he should sign the Supermax. Although the idea of Giannis, AD, and LeBron on the same team is just crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Well, let's play this out even further. Let's say it's not Giannis. Let's say he signs the Supermax and, you know, the Lakers pivot. You know, they don't keep that AD. You know, what AD should do is he should do it 2+1 because that gets him to 10 years service time. And then he can sign that max extension once he has the 10-year service time. But he could just do this again each year. He can go 1-1 every year, and you keep leverage, and you keep, you know, flexibility, et cetera. So it doesn't hurt him to do the 1-1. You just do it again next year, as long as you assume this year will be as good as next year.
Right.
But here's the thing. If the Lakers, let's say, either win again or the Clippers don't.
Yeah. Now you're talking. The Clippers don't.
What happens? Kawhi Leonard almost was a Laker the first time.
Yeah, it came close. How close was he, by the way? Was he that close? I mean, we were led to believe it was like a knife's edge Lakers or Clippers.
I never thought he was close. I never
did either.
I always
seemed
thought
like
that was
too
a bluff.
Much.
I never thought he fit with what, you know, the Lakers fit what he was going to be. And he didn't seem like the kind of guy who would want to play, you know, around LeBron and all the hoopla and the attention and stuff. Like, I think he, you know, I personally think that even though it has been said, reported, et cetera, that like he would have gone to the Lakers if they didn't trade for Paul George, I would have called his bluff.
Yeah.
I still think he would have gone to the Clippers.
Interesting. All right. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break. Dennis Schroeder is going to join us in a minute here. So we will bring him to you coming up. Meanwhile, Santa Key is coming to town, stuffing your stocking with the Laker goodies and collectibles. Keep listening for the sound of Santa Key coming down your chimney. Once you hear it, be calling number 7-877-710-ESPN. You got a chance to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, me, Ireland, Sedano, LZ, Kaplan, Playoff, Sliwa. You can win Lakers stuff and collectibles. 710-ESPN, your home of the world champion Lakers. Dennis Schroeder coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.